we're set for basketball, and as Coach Reynolds said, it's a game where we could get a moral victory, I think, if we can just stay in it with these guys. You'd love to win. We beat them last year.
That's right.
But they've got another year better, another year bigger, and their win over Limestone today was impressive in that second half.
And there's another game after this one. This is not even the last game of the day at this tournament. Limestone and Moline have to play each other after this one's over.
At least that they should be. Moline and Limestone both bringing pretty good crowds, so I would guess they'll still have a good turnout, even though it'll be a late game tonight.
Well, already a victory as the Galesburg Silver Streaks win the tip. Ryan Carl gets it away, and it's the same starting five for the Streaks as we've seen the first two games. Inlet pass to Marcus Ross, and he practically gets tackled from behind by Duan White, a 6'2 senior, so 11 seconds into the game. We've got a foul. Also starting for Westinghouse, Darius Mason, a 5'9 senior at the guard spot. Then they start to get a little bigger. Ricky Battles, a 6-foot senior. Ramon Taylor, a 6'1 senior. And Duan White, who just picked up the foul at 6'2. And Daryl Gant, the big guy in the middle, 6'5 and a solid 6'5. He's a good 250 on the inside, we're guessing. Grant Gibson, pump fakes from the baseline. Shot rolls off, and the rebound tipped out to Trevon Diggins, who resets the offense, bringing it back out. All three games, Gibson has taken the first shot of the game. On the right side, this is Gibson with it on the wing, coming off a career-high 34. Here's Trevon Diggins, top of the circle. That one's off the back of the rim, and Marcus Ross knocks it out of bounds, deflects it off Ricky Battles on the baseline, and the Streaks will hang on to it.
I didn't know that we get two offensive rebounds all night. We've had two in the same possession. A game here in this one, we've really got to value our possessions and take care of the basketball.
You heard Mike Reynolds say in the pregame, we're going to find out if our young guys can stick to a game plan or not. You better believe their game plan is to run some offense, take some time off the clock, try to frustrate these Westinghouse Warriors. Gibson at the free throw line, rattles it through, and the Streaks score first. Just under a minute into the game. And they have scored first in each of their three games, the previous two leading to victories. On the left side, Ramon Taylor. Now they dump it onto the inside to Duan White. Kicks it back outside to Ricky Battles. Talk about that Westinghouse game earlier as we work through this one. They were down 18 in the first half to Limestone, 16 at the half. Came back all the way to win it by three. On the left side in the corner, they'll bring it back out. Mason with it, the smallest guy on the floor, but he is a lanky 5'9", makes him look taller than he's listed at. Down low, good look on the baseline. Shot rolls in and out for Taylor. And a foul on the Silver Streaks will give him two free throws.
Well, everybody that was here this afternoon and saw the Silver Streaks win over Diet will agree that we must play much, much better than we played this afternoon, even though we won that game handily, to have a shot at this one tonight.
The foul against Ryan Carl, and that's something else the Silver Streaks probably can't afford tonight that maybe they could get away with in the first couple of games, is to have their big men get into foul trouble, being Carl and Marcus Ross. Ramon Taylor makes the first free throw, first point of the night for Westinghouse. Takes his time on the second one, and it's on its way, and in and out. And the rebound, Carl takes it away from Ross. So 2-1 is the Galesburg lead. Cheeseman bumped in the backcourt, hangs on to the dribble, no foul called. Looks like the officials are going to let him play, and just as I say that, they do call the second contact on Darius Mason. We'll let you do it once, but we're not going to let you do it twice within 5 feet of doing it the first time.
Yeah, Carson Cheeseman may be the key to this ball game. He's got a lot of pressure on him to take care of the basketball out high. Limestone, we thought, had a pretty good guard tandem, but they were turning it over right and left against this pressure defense this afternoon.
Talked with Mike Reynolds after the interview, saying, what concerns you more, their rebounding ability or their pressure on the ball? And he said, both, quite frankly. I said, no, which one more? Both. Here's Ross with it between the circles as Westinghouse plays a man defense. They've stuck with that here in the early going, and a foul from behind is the pass intended for Grant Gibson at the high post. And they're going to call a little forearm to the back from Ramon Taylor on Gibson, and that's the first of the game on Taylor. And we're not even 2 minutes into the game. Westinghouse has already picked up three team fouls.
Yeah, Coach Garland Williams, incredulous at that one, threw his arms out, couldn't believe that call.
Now they steal the inbound, and the Westinghouse pressure defense pays off there. They will contest everything, whether it's a shot, whether it's a pass. Here's a long three on the way, and it comes up short, barely drawing the iron. And then it came down hard to Ryan Carl, and unexpectedly, he couldn't handle it, and it dribbled off his foot out of bounds.
So an undeserved team rebound for Westinghouse, but I'd been in Ryan's spot. The ball just barely grazes the rim or doesn't at all, and you're not expecting it, and it just goes right off your body.
You're in perfect position, boxing out on the rebound, and you just don't have a chance at it. Now here's another miss, and Diggins battles for the rebound. He already has two boards. Heard Coach Mike Reynolds say in the postgame interview earlier today how disappointed he was at the guards' rebounding ability, and already there's Trevon with two rebounds for the Silver Streaks, and they will need to rebound here tonight to give the Streaks a chance. Here's Trevon blowing past his man all the way in from the right side, gets the layup. And Galesburg now leads 4-1, 5:20 to go first quarter.
Well, I talked with Coach Williams. I asked him who the players to watch. He hesitated not. He said Ricky Battles and DeJuan White are clearly their team leaders. Those are the guys to watch all season long for Westinghouse. He thinks they'll be all-conference and maybe have a shot at All-State.
Well, and I think Darryl Gantz could be a real force in this game, too. He is a big kid in the middle. If he's got any touch whatsoever, he could really have some fun on the inside, I would think. On the outside, Mason. Good job on the perimeter defense by the Streaks. Forces up a long three, and two Streaks there for the defensive rebound. Will be a foul on Westinghouse over the back of Marcus Roth, and that's four team fouls now, and the second of the game on DeJuan White. I was impressed with Ricky Battles in the game against Limestone earlier, although he did let his emotions get the better of him, picking up a technical foul in the fourth quarter that ended up not costing them in the long run as they came back to win by three over Limestone. Diggins to the top of the circle, Ryan Carl, guarded very closely by Gant. Ryan
nice.
Dribbles left, backdoor cut, Gibson up and in. And the Streaks lead 6-1. Heck of an assist by Ryan Carl. Quickly up court, Westinghouse blasting the other way. Battles takes it all the way in for the layup.
Now, things can obviously change in a hurry, but we played the first half of this first quarter nearly perfect. The first 4 minutes, drawing fouls and getting a lead.
Good pass to the outside of Marcus Ross. Had it not been there, DeJuan White could have picked it off and run free for an uncontested layup. But a good pass to the outside prevented that. Now Gibson has the ball knocked out of his hands, gets it back behind him to Ross and into the midcourt circle to Cheeseman, who will reset the offense. Under 4 minutes to go, first quarter, 6-3, the Galesburg lead over the Westinghouse Warriors. Diggins, top of the circle, Carl, an open look around the screen, and the three goes off the back iron and over the top of the backboard. I didn't think it touched anything, but nevertheless, Westinghouse was there for the rebound. It's their ball either way.
Now, talking before the game, and in fact, between games, Grant Gibson was sitting with Joey Range up here to our right, and I said, Joey, I said, those 55-point games you put up might be in trouble if Grant keeps scoring like he did this afternoon. And he said, I want him to. He said, I want him to score 55.
Quick three from the left corner is way too short. Gibson steps in front of the man, Taylor, who lofted it, got the rebound, and then just kind of touched it into Trevon Diggins' hands for the rebound. And now a reach-in foul called on Darryl Gant as Carson Cheeseman out on the perimeter brought the ball down low. Oh, they're going to call an illegal screen set away from the ball instead. So that goes against Marcus Ross. And that's the second team foul on Galesburg. Goes as their second turnover. Well, I saw the reach in on Gant, but the official was looking another direction. Around a screen, Mason pulls up. Now behind him it goes to Taylor, who will bring it back out high into the hands of Marleek Williams, who's come into the game, replacing DeJuan White, who sits down with two fouls. And now we've got same thing away from the ball. An illegal screen set against Westinghouse, and we'll turn it back the other direction as Ramon Taylor picks up his second foul.
Garland Williams nearly tipped over in his chair leaning back so hard that time, and then he got up and he's pacing now. He's a pretty jovial guy, but he's not very happy with the way things are going for his team early here.
Five team fouls already. Here's Gibson down the lane against three defenders, and he takes it strong to the basket. A foul called. He'll get two free throws here. 16 fouls now on the Warriors.
Now, the hope for this game to be competitive is that, obviously, we've got to play better, play smart.
That's a third on Taylor, by the way. Three fouls
Excellent.
Already.
And for maybe Westinghouse expended too much energy this afternoon in that comeback against Limestone, and we're hoping that they ate a whole bunch of greasy food out of Buffalo Wild Wings, weigh them down a little bit here tonight, because that's where they went between games.
Weigh them down and slow them down. Grant Gibson picks up right where he left off in game one. 6 points in this first quarter, including 2 of 2 from the free throw line. He shot 80% from the free throw line in game one and scoring that career high 34. It's 8-3 Galesburg, under 3 minutes to go first quarter. Keep you updated on the Alleman game and the state championship. 4A football playoffs down at Champaign, and they are in a run and gun battle with Rochester as a missed three rebounds into the hands of Gibson, who takes it all the way again. Blocked and out of bounds will be a team rebound for the Silver Streaks. It's 21-12 Rochester coming to the end of the first quarter. They've had 5 touchdowns in that first quarter already. On the inbound, Cheeseman to the left wing, Marcus Ross picks up the dribble, in trouble, gets it away to Gibson. Gibson around a screen by Carl, now back behind him to Ross on the perimeter. Guarded by Marleek Williams, gets it into the hands of Diggins. Carl comes out high for it, hands off to Gibson. picks up his dribble. Now to the outside, Cheeseman. Fakes left, goes right. Top of the circle, Marcus. Fakes the three, drives down, pulls up, blocked by Gant. Rebound, tied up. Gibson reaches in, ties up Mason, who came down with a loose ball, and the held ball will keep it in Westinghouse's possession.
If you're open against these guys, you better release it quick, because yep. You're not going to be open for very long. They recover quickly.
2 minutes to go, first quarter, 8-3, Galesburg. Defensively, they've done a terrific job.
Yep, Trevon. A body hit the floor in Trevon's neighborhood, and you figured that whistle is going to ring him up.
Well, they're down to 4:39 to go before halftime down in Champaign, so there was a long delay in the update on the IHSA website. It's now 28-12, Rochester.
Wow.
4.5 minutes to go, second quarter. And if you saw Alleman play this year, you know how good their defense is, and to put up 28 against him in a game, let alone a half, is a heck of a job. But you were watching part of the game earlier before this one started. You said Rochester's just crazy offense, running it all over the place.
Yeah, they're really an exaggerated spread, and they use a lot of different formations, and then they switch before they snap the ball, and they spread the field out. They utilize the entire width as well as the length of the field, and that's why, I mean, they've been a power for years, and Alleman, we figured, would have their hands full, and they do.
Second foul of the game on Marcus Ross to go along with the one on Trevon Diggins just a few seconds ago. So Ross sits down with two fouls, and biggest game of the season for Tyson Parks here in the early going, as he's going to have some challenges for him on the interior, especially with Ross now on the bench with two fouls.
Gant lost it on the way up,
and they're going to call Ryan Carl, who had good defensive position, but they're going to call Ryan for the reach. And
that's
now the
Streets,
two big men, each with two fouls, with a minute 33 to go in the first quarter.
That is just an awful call. Carl was doing nothing wrong there. He had his hands straight up. A little bit of body strength underneath, but you've got to be able to put your hip on a guy. I mean, this guy's guard's probably, what, 240? I mean, he's a big boy.
Yes, he is. And Gant, first free throw is good.
Yeah, that's especially the tournament game. You want obvious things to be called, but if you call ticky-tack stuff like that, we're going to be here a long time.
So Joe Williams, the 6'1 sophomore, replaces Carl, the 6'5 senior. So the Streaks lose height and varsity experience as Gant misses the second free throw. The horn sounded as the rebound came down to Westinghouse.
You're going to have an inadvertent whistle there.
Yep, because somebody for Westinghouse was ready to come in, and the Streak scoring table just inadvertently hit the scoring buzzer. So the officials will go ahead and stop the clock and make the substitution.
Westinghouse gets it back.
Yeah, because they rebounded it. So 8-4 is the Galesburg lead. Under 90 seconds to play here in the first quarter. On the left side, Cameron Oliver, who just came into the game as a substitution, takes it now. He's working his way toward the top of the circle. Williams with it with a minute 15 to go. On the right side, this is Mason. The 5'9 senior hands it off, top of the circle, just inside the arc. Williams picks up his dribble, now skips it over left side on the wing to Battles. Pulls up from 18 feet, swished it. Tough shot. Made it look easy, though, didn't he?
Yeah, that was like the Dennis Gates hit at Whitney Young in the state title game on his time. And again, same spot, about the same shot.
Gates had 20 in that one. Now Gibson has to try to save it on the sideline. He bounces it off Javonte Ramey, who's able to deflect it into the backcourt, chase it down, take the uncontested layup. We're tied at 8. 3 Galesburg turnovers in this first quarter. Now foul in the backcourt. We'll go against Westinghouse. And Williams is barking about it as he's sprawled out on the floor just short of the timeline. That's his first foul.
Yeah, well,
Grant, seventh team foul now, so the Streaks get a 1-1 here with 38 seconds to play first quarter.
You know, what Grant did to try and save the ball there would have worked against East Peoria and probably Diet, but against these guys, it's 2 points the other way.
To the free throw line, Williams makes the first free throw. Joe's first point of the night. And he's 1 of 2 from the free throw line coming into this game. Puts the Streaks back on top, 9-8, 38 seconds to go. Second free throw good as well. Streaks didn't shoot free throws well. Game one earlier in the win over Diet. They didn't need to. They won by 16. They'll likely need to shoot free throws well tonight. Just inside the arc, Williams drains an 18-footer.
That was smooth.
Ran no offense whatsoever. He got an open look. He took it. And he ties the game at 10. See if the Streaks can try to hold for the last shot here now. Williams picks up his dribble in a bad spot. It's deflected out of Grant Gibson's hands into the backcourt. He chases it down, brings it back across, tries to dump it into the lane, turns it over. Hands all over the place. Now the Streaks create the turnover, get it right back. Trevon Diggins trying to work his way around Cameron Oliver, draws a defensive foul on Oliver. And Trevon will get a 1-1 here. That's 8 team fouls on the Warriors now with just under 8 seconds to play in the first quarter.
Well, recipe to pull off an upset is to do just this. Get the other team in foul trouble, get to the free throw line a lot.
And make them.
And then make them, yeah.
Diggins, 3-for-6 in game one earlier today, makes the first one. Galesburg leads by 1, 11-10. They've led by as many as 5 in this first quarter on a couple of occasions. Second free throw good as well. Trevon with 4 in the game. Galesburg by 2, 12-10, 7 seconds to go. Across midcourt, Mason works his way to the left wing, fires a 3. Off the back of the rim, falls down, trying to draw the foul. Williams rebounds a miss. That's the end of the first quarter. 12-10 Galesburg after 1. You're listening to Silver Streaks Boys Basketball on WGIL and WGIL.com.
GHS Silver Streaks Basketball and WGIL is brought to you in part by Arby's on North Henderson Street in Galesburg, by Office Specialists in Galesburg and Kewaunee, where your office is their business, and by Chuck Ross of Bell Foster Company, making it happen.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
You ask this often during a conversation.
I didn't quite hear you.
This is a common sign of hearing loss. You should consider a Starkey hearing aid. Small, sleek, and modern. Starkey hearing aids will improve the way you hear. Digital technology allows for programmable settings to make listening easier, no matter where you are, by controlling background sound. Call the Knox County Hearing Center for a free hearing evaluation. Knox County Hearing Center on Henderson Street, behind Lim's Ice Cream.
Does your bedroom need an overhaul? How's this for a deal? For a limited time, save up to $400 on a Serta Motion Perfect adjustable foundation with the purchase of an iComfort or iSeries mattress set from Lindstrom's Brand Source TV and Appliance. They'll even deliver it all for free and take away your old mattress. But don't wait. This deal won't last long. Go pick out your Serta Motion Perfect adjustable bed today at Lindstrom's Brand Source HDTV and Appliance, made in Seminary, downtown Galesburg.
I'm News Director Will Stevenson. If you see news happening or want us to report on a story, tell us about it 24/7 by emailing news@wgil.com.
One quarter gone at John Field Gymnasium. Silver Streaks lead Chicago Westinghouse 12-10. Now Gibson battling hard against Javontney Ramey. Picks up a defensive foul on Ramey, trying to work his way around him. And Grant's going to go back to the line shooting a 1-1 here. First quarter stats, Jim? Well, somewhat even, I guess, right?
We're winning the rebounding battle right now. I don't expect that to last. I love it, but right now we're 8-4 up on the boards. Turnovers, 4 for Galesburg, 2 for Westinghouse. Shooting Silver Streaks 3 of 8 from the field. Warriors 4 out of 10.
Silver Streaks now 6 of 7 from the free throw line as Gibson misses the front end of the 1-1 bonus, so that hurts. Gant gets the rebound for Westinghouse. On the right side, quick 3 by Battles. Comes up short, and there's Gibson with the rebound. He's got a couple on the game now. And quickly into the front court come the Silver Streaks. Williams drives. Diggins on the baseline. Hits the reverse layup. Comes up short. Chasing down the rebound. Diggins on the sideline. Almost stepped on the sideline. Now he dribbles out of a double team. Gibson down the right side of the lane. Around a screen from Parks. And a reach-in foul called on Westinghouse's DeQuanis Jackson. And that'll be the first foul on him. 10th team foul on the Warriors. We still have over 7 minutes to play in the second quarter.
You know, we're going to have to be scrappers, and our main three right there got the job done with Gibson. He's just relentless. You can block his shots. You can frustrate him, and he's going to continue to come at you as he hits the free throw. Trevon Diggins kept the ball alive and is able to chase it down over here on the sideline, and Carson Cheeseman as well in on the action. So those guys never give up on a play. And to beat a team with superior athleticism, that's what you've got to do.
How about Trevon Diggins? And here's Tyson Parks getting a hand on the rebound, and then it's whipped to the floor and skims out of bounds, last touched by Galesburg. Diggins has 4 rebounds in this game already.
Yeah.
And that's what they need tonight.
He seems to have really turned it up, and I'm sure the coaches mentioned, hey, Trevon, we need a big one from you tonight to have a chance here.
There's a quick shot just outside the free throw line. Gant swishes a 16-footer. That pulls Westinghouse within 1 now at 13-12. Diggins quickly between a double team across midcourt, down the lane, and it rolls through.
Pretty.
Diggins showing his speed there. Once he got past the double team in the backcourt, he sidestepped a man down the lane, and he was able to get the roll.
And a flashback to Pierre Williams as he dribbled through traffic on that one.
15-12, Streaks by 3. Inlet pass, turnaround, bad shot by Westinghouse, but then an offensive rebound went right back to DeJuan White, and he put the second effort up and in. 15-14, streaks by one. Full court pressure again. Cheeseman against Jackson in the backcourt. Gets off to Williams across midcourt. Now back behind him to Cheeseman. Down the left side of the lane. He's going to take it all the way to the low blocks. Well short. Gibson crashing. Can't come up with it. Rebound White. Outlets to the other end. Pull-up jumper high post. Jackson shot rolls off. Rebound by Ramey. He loses it on the floor. Gibson comes away with it for the Silver Streaks. And a foul. Nope, they're going to call over and back. Are they going to call a palming on that one?
They call a foul on Gibson.
Huh. An offensive foul. Huh.
Don't really see that one in that situation. Said he threw an elbow to free himself.
Hmm.
There was some contact. I don't know that I've seen that called a charge very often.
Fifth turnover on the Streaks. Three for Westinghouse. Chance for their first lead of the game, and there's an offensive foul the other way. Terrence Jones blasted down the left side of the lane, and he ran right into Tyson Parks. I almost said ran over, but he really didn't. He ran into Tyson Parks.
Tyson sold that one.
And that's the fourth turnover now on Westinghouse. Back the other direction. Williams, give and go to Parks down the lane, and it goes off his hands out of bounds, and the Streaks give it right back. No complaint from Tyson. Looked from up here like maybe somebody from Westinghouse reached in, but no argument from Tyson. He knew it.
Yep. Well, he could be a key player in this game, too. Tyson inside with his aggressiveness and his leaping ability. We'll need him.
Again, Warriors chance to take their first lead of the night. Down one, 15-14. Driving right side. Big block by Parks. And knocked out of bounds. DeJuan White down the right side of the baseline. And Parks read it beautifully with a rejection.
Sure did. He just playing center field there in the middle of the lane and came over and swatted that away.
On the inbounds, bounce pass again. They try to go down low to the blocks, and another block by Parks. And this time the loose ball chased down by Carson Cheeseman. Second rejection, back-to-back shots on DeJuan White by Tyson Parks. Now Cheeseman on the left side, Diggins. Works his way to the top of the circle. And another illegal screen set by the Silver Streaks away from the ball. And that's going to send it back the other direction. Seventh turnover on Galesburg and Carson Cheeseman's first foul of the game. Minute 30 to go before halftime in Champaign. It's 28-18 now, Rochester over Alleman.
End-to-end action in this one. Not many points the last few trips, but it's been entertaining. I think that block by Parks, he blocked it with his forearm. He got up so high.
On the outside, quick three by Ramey. That one's off the back of the rim. Perfect position by Cheeseman to come down with the rebound on the other end. Again, the Streaks holding on to that one-point lead. Good look to Diggins driving into the lane on a curl off the backboard. No. Rebound chased down. Williams for the Streaks. He'll scoop it up and in.
Just getting after it. Pure and simple.
Out hustling Westinghouse with a 17-14 Galesburg lead. 4.5 minutes to go here in the second quarter. Picking up his dribble, Ramey in the lane. Gant dumps it in. Turnaround jumper with the left hand. Rolls off for White. He can't get it down. And then the putback.
Those are the ones you hate to give up. We've had two of those.
Both by him.
Yeah, in the second quarter. And those are just too easy.
And now the Streaks can't get it in on the against the full court press. Cheeseman held on to the ball too long. Gets called for a 5-second call. Turnovers mounting against Galesburg. They have 8 in the game now compared to 4 for Westinghouse. Streaks came in. The 25 turnovers in the first two games. I think they had 8 the whole game against East Peoria on Wednesday. It's just a totally different style of defense they're going up against here tonight. On the inbound, in the lane, good position, but the scoop won't go down. Here's Gibson with a rebound. Outlets to Williams, one-on-one, and a defensive foul called, and the block by Ricky Battles will be his first foul, and Joe Williams will get a couple of free throws here.
At the rate we're going, we're going to foul some people out on both sides of the ball tonight.
.406 to go. We're not even halfway through the second quarter yet. Galesburg with a one-point lead. Williams makes the first free throw. Streaks as a team shooting much better from the free throw line here tonight, as they were just under 40% other than Grant Gibson, the other guys on the team, in the first game today. Second one missed. Mason with the rebound for Westinghouse. He'll pull up on the right wing. Now he'll bring it back out. On the left side, Terrence Jones with it, picking up his dribble on the outside. White gets it right side, quick three on the way, and swish for Darius Mason, his first basket of the game. And that's Westinghouse's first lead here now at 19-18, and the Streaks nearly turn it over, knocked out of bounds by Mason.
You know, before you hit that three, I was just thinking, I'm not sure they even attempted a three, had they, up until that point?
Well, they missed their first five in the first quarter.
Yeah.
Huh. And Mercer first two in the second quarter. So they were 0 for 7 from behind the arc until that one.
I just sleepwalking through that one, I guess.
You just don't expect him to launch that many from the outside. Here's Gibson posting up down low. A little bit too strong in the blocks. Gets a hand on the rebound. I think we're going to have a foul over the back by Ramon Taylor. And if so, that's his fourth.
You're kidding. Wow, I'm surprised he got left in there.
Nope, they're going to call it on Darius Mason instead.
Okay.
Either way, Gibson goes to the free throw line, shooting two here. So he's 3 for 5 from the line tonight. 7 points on the game. First one up with 3:33 to go, and now he's cold from the free throw line, missing three of his last four, all in this quarter.
Evan Meeker going to get baptized here, the freshman coming in to... He's played in the first two games, but not at this level of competition. We'll see how he fares, the freshman, against this veteran Westinghouse bunch.
Well, Gibson misses them both. That really hurts. Gant comes down with a rebound. Streaks had a chance to tie the game or retake the lead here. Down one. Wide open three from Marlique Williams off the front of the rim. Rebound by Williams. Outlet pass to Gibson. Overthrew him a little bit. Grant had to chase it down. Now he gets called for pushing off against Darius Mason. Grant lowered the shoulder a little bit, gets called for his second foul, and the ninth Galesburg turnover.
He does lean in a lot, there's no question. The officials, this group is watching everything closely. Again, kind of unusual for a tournament game, especially if the tournament runs an hour behind, but they're calling it close.
Just outside the free throw line, Gant airballs one. Hits the bottom of the net, dribbles out of bounds, back to Galesburg.
Well, this is unusual for Westinghouse to adjust to because public league play tends to be pretty rough. They let a lot of things go, so when they come downstate, they've got to cool their jets a little bit.
Diggins gets hit from the backside. Marlake Williams comes out frustrated. I don't know what he's barking about. It was pretty obvious.
Yeah.
He was chasing Trevon down from the backside, and Trevon slowed down and took just a slight step to the right, and that's what threw Williams into his backside. He didn't anticipate the sidestep as he was going for the steal. So Trevon to the line, gets the roll on the first one. He's 3 for 3 from the line tonight. He has 7 points, and that matches his varsity career high. No, I'm sorry, he had 9 in a game against East Moline last year.
Yeah, hopefully Ryan Carl, who's re-entered the game, will not pick up that third foul before the half. Exactly 3 minutes to go here.
Two fouls on Williams, by the way. Diggins makes both. 4 in the first quarter, 4 in the second quarter. Take him, take that kind of rate all season long from Trevon. 4 points a quarter gets you 16 in a game, and that would be unexpected offense. Streaks ahead by one here, 20-19. 2:40 to go before halftime. Quick jumper, left side for three. No, and a nice job by Carl poking the rebound out of Westinghouse's hands. Diggins with the layup at the other end, and there's his career high. He's in double figures with 10, streaks by three.
Yeah, quite a play by Carl, and a quick reaction from the big guy to swat that thing away.
Yeah.
You don't get many breakouts against Westinghouse, but we got one there.
Now White on the right side. Streaks are going to give him room to shoot. They get it over to Williams, just inside the arc, swirls around an 18-footer, and that one rolls through. Westinghouse back within one, 22-21. Into the front court, Ethan Meeker. 2 minutes to go, first half. Galesburg with a one-point lead. Gibson with it on the outside, guarded very closely by White. Now Diggins feeling it down the lane, rolls off. He got a good-looking shot at it, but he just couldn't get the roll. Great move by Trevon, just couldn't finish. Still a one-point lead. Missed three-pointer at the other end. Westinghouse chases it down to the weak side. Now battles for three. Rattles it through. That one's to Darius Mason instead. So that puts Westinghouse back on top and now stealing it away. Taken away by Williams. Gets it back from Battles. Misses the dunk and then gets the putback as he hit the bottom of the rim. It deflected right back to it. And just like that, Westinghouse on top by four, 26-22. 10 turnovers on the streaks. And that three-point lead has quickly turned into a four-point deficit. As we approach the one-minute mark, Meeker drives, sidesteps a man, shot rolls in and out. Gant with the rebound. He was there waiting defensively. That's who Meeker sidestepped, and he couldn't get a friendly roll.
Boy, both Meeker and Diggins with some great moves, and the ball just would not fall in. We're that close to being tied.
Instead, down four, Westinghouse with the ball at the free throw line. Quick pass left side, three on the way. That one is good. And Marleek Williams fires his six shooters as he's coming back up the court. A 7-point Westinghouse lead. They've scored 10 in a row. Bounce pass into Carl, trying to post up Gant on the low blocks. Good defense, backdoor cut. Gibson falls over White. They both hit the deck. Westinghouse with a turnover and the layup by Mason at the other end. 9-point Warrior lead with 21 seconds to go. Diggins down the lane, gets the roll, and that snaps the run. Trevon with 8 and a quarter. But now Westinghouse can hold for the last shot, leading by 7 with 10 seconds to go. Man, it just seems like, boom, 13-0 run. And there's a quick jumper, 18-footer, well short. Gibson with a rebound. He won't have a chance to do anything with it. Streaks have a chance to catch their breath. They played so well in the first half, and the final 80 seconds, it just disappeared. And the Streaks down 7 at the break. When we come back on the OSF St. Mary Medical Center halftime show, team statistics, first half numbers from the individuals, and a word with the Streaks coaching staff. You're listening to Galesburg High School Boys Basketball on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Holiday shopping is now underway at Yum in Galesburg. And now, through November 30th, Yum has marked down new 2012s and 13s with savings that are impossible to ignore. New 2012s are moving fast, and with Yum's additional savings, you'll never find a better time to buy. If you've even been thinking about a new truck, you have to see the folks at Yum, where you can save over $10,000 on a new 2012 Chevy Silverado All-Star Edition 4x4 Crew LT, or save over $12,000 on the new 4x4 Extended Cab LT. Save over $1,200 on the popular 2012 Chevy Cruze, over $4,600 on a new 2012 Chevy Malibu, and over $5,000 on a new 2012 Chevy Impala. Yum even has markdowns on new 2013s, like $1,000 off a new 2013 Chevy Malibu or $1,000 off a new 13 Chevy Equinox. See Yum for details. Yum's prepared to beat any deal anytime, any day, so don't miss this savings opportunity. Yum's new blowout before the holiday sale, now through November 30th.
Do you have a brown thumb? A thumb that is so brown you can cause silk flowers to wilt? Or do others call you for gardening advice? If you are passionate about gardening or would like to expand your gardening knowledge, then become a Master Gardener. Weekly Master Gardener classes begin in Galesburg on January 24th and run through April 10th. You will meet other gardeners as well as experts in the field of horticulture. Contact the University of Illinois Knox County Extension Office for registration details.
Don't miss Menards' big two-day sale this Friday and Saturday. Save 60% on men's or women's performance fleece pullovers, just $7.99 each. A three-piece area rug set is half price, $19.99. A five-pack of Hot Wheels toy cars is $2.49. Choose from assorted designs of gift wrapping paper, just 79 cents for a 50-square-foot roll. Hurry, good while supplies last. Don't miss Menards' big two-day sale this Friday and Saturday.
Warm season's greetings to you all from Menards.
Good luck, Silver Streaks, from the all-new Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandburg Mall. Stop in and check out the new 2013 Nissans, the most innovative and exciting cars available today. Over 150 to choose from at Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandburg Mall.
And we'll recommend you to all our family and friends.
Wasn't that nice?
I think you skipped a page.
I don't think so.
The part where they wrote, Michelle was a joy to work with.
Okay. It's Patsy and Michelle from Bates Collision Center. Proud to join with the rest of the Silver Streaks fans to cheer our team on to another winning season.
Silver Streaks boys basketball continues with the halftime show on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
Halftime at John Field Gymnasium. Brad Benowitz, Jim Lee with you. Nick Simpson, our broadcast engineer. It's been an exciting half. It's been an up-and-down half, but, boy, I sure got away from Galesburg in a hurry. They played so well. And, you know, Mike Reynolds said in the pregame, we're going to see if our kids can execute a game plan. And, Jim, I think for the first 14 minutes of the game, they did. But those final two, maybe 2.5 minutes, the game plan got away from them, and so did the score. They led the entire first half until, boom, they're down by 7 here at the break.
Well, the game plan got away in the fact that, yeah, we made a couple of turnovers, but when the other team gets hot, then it looks worse. And Westinghouse did just that. It's hard to beat a team that's bigger than you are and more athletic if they got guys stepping out shooting threes and a variety of guys. It just becomes almost impossible to defend them. You've got to hope that they don't catch fire. Well, they kind of caught fire there in the latter stages of that second quarter, and then of course the turnovers and some quick transition baskets, and next thing you know, it's that 13-0 run.
Well, Mike Reynolds even said, we want to get him into a little jump shooting contest. And unfortunately, they got on a roll and hit some. Early on, they didn't hit a lot. But, boy, when they got hot in the second quarter, they really nailed them.
Well, and they've moved the ball well enough, and they're athletic enough that we really don't even force them into jump shots. They've got a couple of guys that just really measure their shots and their feet don't leave the floor. They've just got a real smooth stroke, and they make it look very easy. So it's just tough to defend. You feel like you're playing 5-on-7 out there. Westinghouse right now, they got off 23 shots in that second quarter.
Amazing.
So you don't have to make a whole lot when you shoot that often.
Yeah.
They made 9 of them. For the half, they're 11 of 33. So, you know, they're only, 33% from the field. But it's enough to still have 31 points at the break.
Well, the Grinnell kid only shot about 33% the other night, too, didn't he?
He was close to 50. But,
was he that high?
But still,
he was
27
of, what was it, 81 from three-point range.
But, yeah, 52 of 100 and some for the game.
Whatever.
It was the free throws, those 7 free throws.
That's right, yeah. That's
Galesburg 10 out of 26 from the field at the break. I'm going to do the turnovers. That's been a problem, especially second quarter, 7 for the Streaks. Now, at least 2 or 3 of those were offensive fouls, though, so it's not the conventional turnover. It's worse because you get the turnover and you get the foul. 2 of them were on Grant Gibson. So we got 11 at the break. Westinghouse with just 4 turnovers I showed in that first half.
Yes.
And so they're having no problems with the ball, as you would expect. My rebound count's still a little shaky. Run down what you've got on the rebounds, and I'll adjust here.
I had 17 for Westinghouse and 16 for Galesburg.
Okay.
8 in each quarter for the Streaks. And I'm going to have to compare with you on the shooting numbers because I'm off there. We can tell you that Westinghouse is 3 of 12 from the three-point line, and they have defended Galesburg on the perimeter extremely effectively. The Streaks have not made a three-pointer and have hardly taken any. I've got them for only 1 three-point attempt in this first half. And free throws, Galesburg started off well, didn't shoot so well in the second quarter, which is similar to what happened in the game earlier today when they made only 2 of 9. 4 of 9 from the free throw line in this game. The Streaks are 10 of 15 from the stripe. Westinghouse didn't shoot a single free throw in that second quarter because, as Jim said, many of their looks were open. So even with the penetration, they were finding open looks, and only 2 for 4 from the free throw line in the first half. It's 31-24. Galesburg down by 7 at the half. We'll take a look at the individual scoring when we come back, and we'll get a word from the Streaks coaching staff when they come back from the locker room. Westinghouse 31, Streaks 24 at the half. You're listening to Galesburg High School Boys Basketball on WGIL and WGIL.com.
A lot of daily repetitive motion can lead to loss of range of motion, causing you pain. Sarah Haynes, physical therapist for OSF St. Mary Medical Center, specializes in exercise to help relieve back pain.
The McKenzie Method is a self-treatment program, so the patient is given exercises and postural correction and basically taught how to treat their own problem. And usually if they follow through with a maintenance program that can take just 2 or 3 minutes a day, they can significantly reduce their pain.
OSF St. Mary Medical Center, all together better.
I've checked and rechecked, and it all comes down to the same conclusion.
Don't say it.
It's your turn to clean the coffee pot in the break room.
No!
It's Patsy from Bates Collision Center, proud to join with the rest of the Silver Streaks fans to cheer our team on to another winning season.
Good luck, Silver Streaks, from the all-new Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandburg Mall. Stop in and check out the new 2013 Nissans, the most innovative and exciting cars available today. Over 150 to choose from at Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandburg Mall.
Colder months are soon approaching and snow and ice will cover our green grass. Hi, I'm Mark Craddy. I'm here to help Karen continue to serve our customers. Craddy Insurance, along with Rockford Mutual Insurance Company, are here to protect your home and car from winter mishaps. We are a family business here to help your family. We offer competitive rates through Rockford Mutual Insurance Company. Stop in and see us at 1197 North Henderson Street or give Karen or I a call for your free quote at 342-0071.
Oh, just a little further. Mrs. Stevens?
Hey, Phil. Got a package for me?
Nope, just a power bill.
Oh, well, what's that?
That's the power bill, ma'am.
No.
Yeah, I think it's time you call Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating. Honestly, my back can't take much more of this.
Do everyone a favor and get a high-efficiency furnace from Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating because you deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill.
The official WGIL forecast, clear and colder tonight with a low of 22. Wind gusts up to 25 miles per hour this evening. Tomorrow, sunny with a high of 36. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with an overnight low of 28. Sunday, sunny and not as cool with a high of 48. Sunday night, partly cloudy, overnight low of 32. Monday, partly sunny with a high of 42. Monday night, cloudy with a chance of rain or snow, overnight low of 28. Currently in downtown Galesburg, it is 20 at Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
Local news and conversations with local newsmakers. The WGIL Evening News with Bob O'Connor, weeknights at 5 on Galesburg Radio 14.
Quickly, courtside, Jim Lee is with Steve Cheeseman. Okay, Steve Cheeseman, quickly at halftime, you guys really executed the game plan well. Last few minutes kind of got away from
it. Yeah, I mean, we can't get into their kind of game where it's a track meet and turn the ball over in a live situation. Other than that, I mean, we're in great shape. We've got to just claw back here a little bit. Got to keep them off the offensive glass. That's where they hurt us a lot, too.
A lot of possessions left.
A lot of possessions left. Thanks, Jim.
As always, our thanks to Steve Cheeseman. Our OSF St. Mary Medical Center halftime show now comes to an end. Quickly, individual scoring. Marlik Williams with 9 in the first half for Westinghouse. Darius Mason at 8. Juwan White, Ricky Battles each with 4. Daryl Gant had 3. Javante Ramey had 2. Ramon Taylor had 1. Cameron Oliver, Terrence Jones, and DeQuanis Jackson did not score in the first half for Westinghouse, who starts off the second half with the ball and a 7-point lead over the Silver Streaks. A 13-0 run in the second quarter turned a 3-0 lead for Galesburg into a 10-point deficit. Now Cheeseman saves one on the sideline, but he saves it to Westinghouse, so they hang on to possession here. Williams pulls up from 17 feet on the left wing. That one won't go, and the rebound fought for out along the baseline. Last touch by Darius Mason, so the Streaks will get it back on a dead ball rebound. So they come out forcing up a perimeter jumper. Westinghouse does not knock it down. And the Streaks get it back. Now they break the full court press. Here's a two-on-one. Gibson down the right side. Can't get the roll. Rebound battered around. Ross with the putback. That one's too strong. And under the basket, Battles comes up with the rebound. Tries to throw it off a Silver Streak, knocking it out of bounds. And that's exactly what happened. Now they're going to call a push on Marcus Ross. I guess probably a little frustration after missing that shot on the putback. And that is the third foul on Marcus Ross. So that hurts.
Yeah, we've missed too many opportunities late first half under the basket, and right there we've got to get those shots down.
On the outside, Westinghouse swings it around. Top of the circle, now left side it goes to DeJuan White. Just outside the top of the circle, Daryl Gant. Still holding the ball, Marlik Williams. Now right side, Gant comes out the perimeter. Here's White driving down the left side of the lane. Gibson knocks it out of his hands. Ball squirts out of bounds. Back to Westinghouse. Just underway in the third quarter. No score between for either team here in the first minute five. It's a 31-24 Westinghouse lead. Streaks keep the same five on the floor who started the game with Diggins. A career high in the first half with 12. Gibson, Cheeseman, Carl, and Ross. But Marcus playing with three fouls now. Streaks have to keep him on the floor to keep some size out there for the time being. That's largely because Tyson Parks played so much of that first half. The inlet pass, they take it right at Ross, and a tough shot up and over him by DeJuan White gets the roll on a hard low line drive that creeps over the rim and drops through. 9-point Warrior lead, 33-24. Streaks cleared out on the right side as Gibson starts to work his way around on Williams. And that'll be a reach foul called on Williams as Grant was starting to get the position. That's the third foul of the game on Marlik Williams.
A very key stretch of the ball game here with 9-point lead now for Westinghouse. Will they go ahead and blow it open and run away with this thing, or can we find a way to claw back into it now?
Gibson fade away from the low blocks. Tough shot, but he knocked it down from about 13 feet out. He has 9 in the game, 7 in the first half. 33-26, Galesburg down 7. Again, Diggins and Gibson with 19 of the Streaks' 24 points in the first half. Just inside the arc, pull-up jumper, and a perfectly executed shot by Ricky Battles. It just makes it look so smooth, knocking that one down from 17. Cheeseman, double-teamed in the backcourt to Ross, up-court pass to Trevon Diggins. Now dribbles between a double team, loses the ball briefly, picks it up, gets it over left side. Gibson fires a three. Good! And the Streaks call a quick timeout. 35-29, that pulls them back within 6 with 5:44 to go third quarter.
Mike Reynolds traditionally has loved that timeout when he's a little bit behind. get a big shot, especially down here on our home end where you're near the huddle anyway. Call the timeout and try and reset things. You've got yourself back within 6 points now. Don't want to let Westinghouse go on another run. That's easier said than done.
Rochester leads Alleman in the state championship game, the 4A title game at Champaign, 35-18. And Jim, you mentioned it off air. I hadn't really thought about it in this perspective, but it's potentially 70 points on Alleman. It's unfathomable.
That's more than they give up in a season.
In a season, yeah. That's right.
That shows you how good Rochester is.
So 35-18, still a long second half to play there, but it's been a long first half for the Alleman Pioneers, the lone and final Western Big Six representative in the state finals. 5:44 to go, third quarter here. Thanksgiving tournament action. Brad Benowitz, Jim Lee with you from John Field Gymnasium. Streaks down six, coming out of a full timeout. Galesburg took the opportunity to get their players a little breather there. The same five stay on the floor for Coach Mike Reynolds. Streaks won this game last year 37-34 in a bit of an upset, but a lot of those Westinghouse players are back from that team, and they definitely look more polished here this year. On the outside, they swing it around to the top of the circle. Mason misses the shot. Gibson comes down with a rebound, and Javonte Ramey reaches in, pokes it out of his hands, but is called for his second foul.
Really
strong rebound by Grant.
Strong rebound. He was up for that, and then his hands are so strong. You know, we've had kids of similar frames, even bigger than Grant before, that are pretty good basketball players, but they just didn't have good hands underneath and missed so many opportunities. But you rarely see Grant Gibson mishandle a ball. He's very strong in the hands.
And he has it now at the left high post. He starts to put the dribble on the floor, tries to work around a screen from Ross. Pump fakes, puts it up and in. That was not an easy shot. He's got seven in this quarter. He's doubled his output to 14. And he pulls the streaks within four now, 35-31, under 5 minutes to go, third quarter. To the streaks, crawling back into this game. Here's a tough pass, knocked loose by Gibson. Ross comes up with the steal. Hands off to Diggins. Now he'll lead the break. Sees three defenders in front of him. Backs his way up to the right wing, and then dribbles it off Mason's foot out of bounds, so the streaks hang on to it here.
Trevon was probably close to getting an offensive foul there. He stuck that left forearm out, and they didn't whistle him up for it, but next time they probably will.
Inbounds to Gibson, gives it right back to Cheeseman, who will play the point now. Approaching the 4.5-minute mark of the third quarter, Galesburg with the ball down four. Gibson again at the high post, again around a screen. He steps back, gives it right side to Diggins on the wing. Now Diggins dribbles between the defenders, finds an opening, and too strong on the layup, off the glass, and Westinghouse rebounds.
What a shame. Another great move by Diggins. It just fell off the rim.
That would have cut it to two, and now a push foul called on Battles, working one-on-one against Carson Cheeseman. I saw Carson go down, and he sold it to the official, I guess. Oh, you're saying they called a palming the ball there?
The one official I saw rolled his hands to indicate that. I haven't heard Gary Mitchell say anything about a foul for the public address,
nope,
so I
think
we'll go with that.
It's only the sixth turnover on Westinghouse. So the streak's down four with a chance to pull a little closer yet again.
The guy that's guarding Gibson is sure going for the Academy Award. He's hair and everything flying backwards every time Grant touches him.
Carl from the left high post gets a shot up and over the rim to drop through, and now the streak's back within two at 35-33. First basket of the game for Ryan Carl.
Last 3 minutes, we played excellent ball to get back into this.
Got to keep it up, though. Still down by two. Nearly stolen away. It is stolen away. Gibson leads the break, and he does get the offensive foul that time. Leaned in with the shoulder a little bit, and Mason sold that one as he flopped to the floor, and I don't blame him, but Grant did go in a little bit strong with the left shoulder.
That's too bad after creating that turnover to give it right back, and a lot of times you'll still get that call because the defender absolutely was not set, but it was just the fact that Grant, especially being a little bigger than the defender too, that always makes it look a little worse.
So the streaks had a great move by Trevon Diggins. Couldn't get the shot down. Now they miss an offensive opportunity there. They still trail by two, and there's an offensive foul called on Westinghouse away from the ball. They'll whistle DeJuan White, setting the illegal screen. Nope, they're going to whistle Daryl Gant instead, but that's only the first on the big guy. That's the eighth turnover on Westinghouse, four of them here in the third quarter. So they've doubled their first half total there. So the streak's doing the job defensively here.
Sometimes I wonder with a quick whistle and the same call if there wasn't a makeup call there by one of the officials that saw the other play the other way.
Down low, good lead pass to Marcus Ross. Cut off along the end line, and he stepped on the baseline to turn it over right back to Westinghouse. So back-to-back turnovers against the Streaks, again denying them an opportunity to tie the game. A tough night for Marcus. He didn't get much time on the floor on the varsity last year, and this is definitely the biggest challenge he's faced in his career. Quick jumper from the left side, 15-footer rolls off. Carl deflects the rebound to himself after the miss by Battles. Here comes Diggins in transition. Fakes left and goes up with the right hand to tie it up. What a night Trevon Diggins is having.
It really is, and he could, you know, a few balls that fell off the rim, he could be having an even bigger night, but we'll take what we've got so far at this tie at 35. The Streaks have battled back nicely.
He's got 14. Pass to the hands of Gant, who picks it up before Carl's able to take away. Now gives off to Ricky Battles. We're tied at 35. First tie since we were knotted up at 19 in the second quarter. Mason, hesitation drive, then tries to dump it into Gant, and Ryan Carl goes up for the steal. Just intercepted the pass in the lane. And now the Streaks have a chance to regain the lead with 2 minutes to go before the end of the third quarter.
Westinghouse for five third-quarter turnovers.
Quick look into Ryan Carl. Scoops it up and in. Streaks regain the lead. 37-35. Coach Mike Reynolds pounding the floor with his foot, encouraging his team to keep up the defensive effort here. Quick three on the other end. Mason knocks it down.
He always got a clutch shot.
Regain the lead at 38-37. Darius Mason with 3 three-pointers in the game. He's in double figures with 11. Carson Cheeseman on the dribble. Out at the volleyball line. Over to Marcus Ross on the left wing. 90 seconds to play third quarter. Trevon Diggins on the wing. Mason gets in his face. Now a quick three by Gibson. That one's off the back of the rim. Wide open rebound in the lane. Westinghouse on the run at the other end to Javonte Ramey, who lays it up and in.
Not let them have a big run here at the end of the quarter again. Back down three now. That three-point weapon so strong, and Westinghouse has got it. And for the most part, that's just not our strong suit. We got to outscore them 2-3.
Mason riding Carson Cheeseman hard. Got a little bit of a bump in the backcourt that was not called. And then he bumped him again, bringing it into the front court. And he's still barking at the official, saying, I had my arms straight up in the air. I got pushed back, but... Given that he initiated the contact in the backcourt, I don't think the official was going to buy it in the front court.
So I guess I shouldn't complain about the threes. 2 years ago, we killed our opponents. Four guys that could all shoot the three ball.
When they were on.
Yeah.
Diggins on a curl. Stops in the lane. He might have been able to take it all the way, but instead he stops, brings it back out. Here's Gibson with it. Inlet pass to Ryan Carl. Fakes left, goes right, and a foul called as Gant has his arms up in the air saying I was holding my defensive position, but that's all right because Ryan got called for a
same
tough
spot.
Foul doing the same thing in the first half, so that one finally evens out. And Ryan's going to get two free throws here. Second foul of the game on Gant. Five team fouls on Westinghouse. 44 seconds to go, third quarter. Ryan trying to pull the Streaks back close. First one off the back iron. 4 points in the game, all in this quarter. Ryan's third free throw attempt of the season. He's only one of three now.
Ryan seems to be much more comfortable out there this year than last, though. I've really been impressed by what he's doing. Just 4 points, but he's doing some other things very well.
Second free throw is good. Gelsberg back within two now, 40-38.
He's definitely worked on his post moves. He's getting up some shots that he didn't get up last year.
Yep. I like the little juke move. He's making a little fake left, moving right. With that size, he's able to get himself open doing that. Just needs a little bit better touch to knock it down. Three substitutions ready for the Silver Streaks if the clock stops in the final 26 seconds of the quarter here. And Westinghouse is going to pull it out now, trying to run some clock, leading by two with 17 seconds to go. Down the lane, DeQuanis Jackson dribbles it back out to Javonte Ramey. Now on the right side it goes, and Westinghouse has some substitutions on the floor. This is Quentin Crump. They look at the clock, firing up the shot. Ramey misses the turnaround, and we're going to have a foul over the back on Cameron Oliver. Ryan Carl had defensive position, and Garland Williams not happy at all with that call from the Westinghouse sideline. And here's what the Warriors are able to do. They've got their five starters off the floor right now. So Garland Williams is resting his kids for the final 40 seconds of the third quarter, and the Streaks just now able to get three of their starters out with 0.4 seconds before the end of the third quarter. Gibson inbounds to Ethan Meeker, and that's the end of the third. So the Streaks cut into the deficit, They briefly regain the lead. They're down two at the end of the third quarter, 40-38. You're listening to Silver Streaks Boys Basketball on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Play-by-play coverage of Silver Streaks Basketball on WGIL is brought to you in part by Chuck Ross with Mel Foster Company, making it happen, by Arby's on North Henderson Street in Galesburg, and by Office Specialists in Galesburg and Kewaunee, where your office is their business.
You are the talent. You are the strength. You are the athlete. When you're under those lights, something happens inside of you. Your feet move faster. Your hands grip tighter. Your heart beats harder. And time slows down. The weight of the team is on you, and you've never felt lighter. That's what good equipment does for you. It's there, performing with you. Breedlove's has the gear you need to be even better than you already are. Settle for nothing less than professional brands that deliver every time, like you. Breedlove Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee.
Holiday shopping is now underway at Yum in Galesburg. And now, through November 30th, Yum has marked down new 2012s and 13s with savings that are impossible to ignore. New 2012s are moving fast, and with Yum's additional savings, you'll never find a better time to buy. If you've even been thinking about a new truck, you have to see the folks at Yum, where you can save over $10,000 on a new 2012 Chevy Silverado All-Star Edition 4x4 Crew LT, or save over $12,000 on the new 4x4 Extended Cab LT. Save over $1,200 on the popular 2012 Chevy Cruze, over $4,600 on a new 2012 Chevy Alto, and over $5,000 on a new 2012 Chevy Impala. Yum even has markdowns on new 2013s, like $1,000 off a new 2013 Chevy Malibu or $1,000 off a new 13 Chevy Equinox. See Yum for details. Yum's prepared to beat any deal anytime, any day, so don't miss this savings opportunity. Yum's new blowout before the holiday sale, now through November 30th.
Nobody covers the Silver Streaks like Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
Galesburg Silver Streaks trailing 40-38 just underway in the fourth quarter. Streaks turned it over on their first offensive possession. Here's Westinghouse with it, leading by two. Streaks keep the same five on the floor. They got Meeker, Williams, and Parks into the game for the final 0.4 seconds. Mike Reynolds is going to give the other starters a breather as Grant Gibson and Ryan Carl stay on the floor for a Silver Streaks. Give Ryan Carl credit for playing that entire third quarter without picking up his third foul.
Yeah, and Westinghouse doing what we've seen a lot of public league teams do, spread things out in the fourth quarter, really use the entire half of the court, try and get some easy shots.
Down the lane, and there's a little backdoor cut, but they missed it. Dewan White came up just short on it. Williams with the rebound. Here's Meeker for three, in and out. Parks had a hand on the rebound, but he couldn't control it, and it's back out of bounds to the Warriors.
Too bad. Tyson worked for that position, was sure right there, but then just couldn't haul it in.
And a nice open look by Ethan Meeker, too. He was a little unlucky on the shot, too. It was pretty well on the mark, but it just wouldn't go down. And here's Westinghouse back on offense, leading by two, a minute and a half into the fourth quarter. Ramey with it out between the circles, and they're going to spread it out a little bit again. Quinton Crump, so the same five who were on the floor at the end of the third quarter remain on the floor for the Warriors as well here to start the fourth and final quarter. We've had some exciting games in this one. We still never really have talked about that big Westinghouse comeback against Limestone in the game that followed the Galesburg win over Chicago Diet earlier today. Westinghouse was down 16 at the half. They did not take their first lead in the game until exactly a minute to go. Limestone briefly regained the lead after surrendering the 16-point lead in the fourth quarter. And then Westinghouse got a basket, or got a free throw, rather, with 1.4 seconds remaining to take a one-point lead. And then Limestone on the end-to-end pass, trying to get it full the length of the court, overthrew everybody. It was Hank Matthews on the inbound. He overthrew everybody on the opposite end of the floor, so Westinghouse got it right back under their own basket and got a layup at the end of the game. They'd already essentially won it at that point, but they ended up winning it by three, and pretty incredible comeback.
What's going on here right now? And we've got a traveling violation after they worked about a minute off the clock or more against Westinghouse. Galesburg gets it back. This magnifies how important it was for us to make that run in the third quarter, because if they pull this out with an 8 or 10-point lead and make you chase, it becomes very difficult.
Yep.
But a 2-point game, it's anybody's ball game. I don't mind the other team working a minute or two off the clock, especially as athletic as they are. If we can make a couple of shots, we're right there.
Garland Williams was beside himself after that travel call. I'm not sure I blame him. That was a That was a pretty quick travel call. Here's Gibson at the other end, forcing one up, leaning in and from just outside the left side of the lane. Shot doesn't go down, but he does draw the foul. Just the first foul of the game. I'm sorry, second foul of the game on DeQuanis Jackson. But it's a seventh team foul on Westinghouse. Only two on the Silver Streaks. Garland Williams is going to start to put the starters back on the floor for the Warriors. And Grant Gibson continues to struggle from the line. 8 of 10 in the game earlier. He came into tonight 10 of 12 from the free throw line. But he made 3 of his first 4. He's missed all 4 of his free throw sets. Just 3 of 8 for the game. And he's sitting on 14 points.
Well, in the first two games, missed free throws weren't magnified. In this one, every miss by every player is... When you got a one-point game, he does drain the second one.
First points of the fourth quarter for either team. 4:49 to go in the game. 40-39 is the Westinghouse lead. And the Streaks use their second timeout here. So a chance to go through some of those third-quarter stats. Take a look at where we stand for the game here, Jim.
Gelsberg, 13 of 29 from the field. Had a good third quarter, 6 out of 11. Westinghouse, just 4 of 7 in that third quarter. They're 15 of 40 for the game. Really an excellent job by Gelsberg on defense, too, because Westinghouse got off 23 shots in the second quarter. We held them to just 7 in the third, and that makes such a huge difference. Rebounds, we're hanging in there. Let's see, 24-21 is what we had Westinghouse an advantage. And turnovers, that got narrowed, too. Westinghouse had 5 in the third quarter. We had just 2, so that third quarter was excellent. Excellent job by the Streaks to get back in the game.
And the Streaks haven't surrendered any points yet here in the fourth quarter. They've scored only one to cut the deficit to 1 at 40-39 as we come out of the timeout. 4:40 to play in the game. 40-39 is the Westinghouse lead. The Warriors have the ball. Diggins and Ross back on the floor for the Silver Streaks. Carl gets a breather, and there's another travel called on Daryl Gant out high between the circles. And I can't blame Garland Williams for being frustrated. Every call is going against the Warriors right now.
Yeah, I didn't see that one.
And now here's a steal on the inbound. Diggins didn't see Ricky Battles lurking behind him, and Battles just picked his pocket and laid it up at the other end.
I didn't have a microphone on Garland Williams, but I think he might have looked at the official and said, what was wrong with that one? He didn't call anything.
Diggins rattles a 3 through, and he ties the game. They left him wide open at the top of the circle, and Trevon, who hasn't shown much shooting from the outside, drains it on his career high night. He has 17, and we are tied at 42 halfway through the fourth quarter. Well, they'll guard him now. They're trying to guard the lane because he was so effective at doing that. Now Ross flops on the outside as Battles goes in from the right side. He missed the shot and then knocked out of bounds on the rebound back to Gelsberg. Well, we've seen some air flops earlier today. That's the first one we've seen from the Silver Streaks.
Yeah, that's kind of embarrassing when you go down and you don't have any more contact made than that.
Was there any contact?
Might have got brushed.
Okay. Williams trying to lose his man out high. Gives off to Ross. Sees an opening down the lane. Draws contact. Shot too strong off the backboard. And the rebound out to Trevon Diggins. In the right corner, Streaks get another chance at it here. Good strong move by Marcus. Now Diggins loses his man. Drives into a double team, but he got called for traveling. And I think that was the right call. 16th turnover on the Silver Streaks. After just 2 in the third quarter, that's their third fourth quarter turnover. 3:24 to play.
Well, if you'd have told us when this game started we'd be sitting at 42s at 3:24 to play, we would have certainly taken that. Silver Streaks have given it a good go. And, you know, you mentioned last year about Mike Reynolds. He's a good big game coach. He seems to have a knack for putting his team in a position to beat opposition when they're outmanned.
Unless it's Rock Island, it seems like.
Well, yeah, okay. It's an exception to everything.
On the left side, Battles knifes between a couple of defenders, puts up a strong shot. He missed it, and DeJuan White got the offensive rebound and the putback. And he fist pumps himself right in the chest. 44-42, Diggins all the way in from the right side, gets the basket and a foul. 19 on the game for Trevon Diggins, and we're tied again.
You know, for as athletic as Westinghouse is, I don't think they can match his quickness. He's got a half step, I think, on anybody they have.
He's around them before they're aware of it, it seems like.
That was lightning fast.
A chance to put the Streaks back on top. 2:56 to go in the game. The free throw is off the back of the rim. Gibson with the rebound. On the floor, up and in. And the Streaks take a two-point lead at 46-44. Only their second lead of the second half. They briefly had the lead in the third quarter, and Westinghouse quickly went back on top. Out of control, down the lane, diving for the loose ball. Gibson comes up with it and calls timeout. A 30-second timeout by the Streaks. What a heads-up play, and the effort by the Silver Streaks creates another turnover.
Yeah, when we knocked that ball away originally, I didn't think we were going to get it back. I was thinking, oh, it's a shame we didn't get the turnover there. Well, then in comes Grant Gibson, as he's so prone to do, and we haven't seen him on the floor quite as much because he's playing out in the perimeter more than last year. He was just banging on the interior so much. And that time, that thing hit the floor, and he was on it like a cat and got the timeout before they could do anything. And now you've seen Westinghouse have to completely change their offensive philosophy.
Yes.
When this quarter started, they were going to spread it out and take their time. They panicked a little bit that time down trying to make something happen.
The Streaks have outscored Westinghouse 8-4 in this fourth quarter to turn a two-point deficit into a two-point lead with the ball here with 2:35 to play coming out of their 30-second timeout. So down 31-24 at halftime, the Streaks have outscored Westinghouse 22-13. And it's all been through their defense. Gibson, little bump in the backcourt, working hard against Juwan White, now picks up his dribble over to Ross. Now left side, Carson Cheeseman back into the game, under 2.5 minutes to play. Top of the circle, Diggins. Quick three by Gibson from the corner. Short. Rebound. Carson Cheeseman put back. Good. Johnny on the spot. After the miss by Gibson, and the Streaks lead by four. 48-44. 2 minutes to go in the game. How much poise can this inexperienced Streaks main team maintain down the stretch? Out high. Mason travels with it. And you could see that one clearly. He took the big step left, and then before he could move to his right, he did not get the ball on the floor before the pivot foot picked up. Full court pressure by Westinghouse, and now they'll back off. Man-to-man defense against Diggins, who just blows past Mason into the front court. Minute 45 to go in the game. A four-point Streaks lead, Galesburg with the ball. Only two Galesburg team fouls. Gibson gets called for traveling. Carried it too long at the free throw line before he got the dribble down.
Yeah, no question. And I think he might have got a little too excited because he saw the left side of that lane was wide open.
Yep.
He was going to go uncontested and just didn't get it on the floor in time.
At the 4A state title game in Champaign, Alleman has not given up any points to Rochester in the third quarter, but they haven't scored any either. It's still 35-18. And here's a steal by Gibson. Just took it away from Battles. Leads the break, and then he travels again going down the lane. He tried to get the pass away to Ross, and I don't know if he just didn't have control of the ball enough. He couldn't get it away, and he ended up taking three steps with possession.
Now, I think he changed his mind about halfway into the play. I think he was going to pass it, and then he thought, well, I'm going to go ahead and take it in. Then your footing gets off, and you're a mess. And so, yeah, heck of a job by Gibson to get the turnover, but two straight travelings on him gives Westinghouse life.
Battles loses his man, dumps it off to White, coming in from the baseline with a reverse layup and a basket, a chance at a three-point play. And Westinghouse back within two, trying to make it one.
Now just
only the third team foul on the Streaks this quarter.
Ask Limestone. You give these guys a little opportunity, and you may live to regret it.
Duane White, second basket of the quarter. 10 for the game now. Got a box out here if Casey misses. They'll crash the boards hard. He gets the roll, and now it's a one-point game. 48-47, Streaks with the ball and a one-point lead. A minute 10 to go. Diggins in the backcourt. Settle things down. Streaks run some offense here. Top of the circle, Carl working his way right. Hands off to Gibson. Brings it back to the top of the arc. Hands off to Carson Cheeseman. Just outside the left side volleyball line. Ryan Carl works his way right, just inside the line. Javon Diggins will dribble it back out to half court with 45 seconds to play and a one-point Galesburg lead. Ross briefly lost the ball, still with a dribble, leaning in, nearly lost it, and a five-second call.
Yeah, Ross is not the one we want to have the ball out high there. It's not Marcus's best thing is dribbling, and And we need to keep that in the guard's hands as much as possible. We got the 5 second.
Well, no one was coming out to help him out either. So it's not entirely his fault.
No, well, and you just, you're trying to get your rotation in a position where guys can utilize their skills, and that's just not his strength out there, and he did the best he could.
Timeout called by the Silver Streaks with 40 seconds to go in the ball game. A one-point Galesburg lead, but Westinghouse with the ball. Take a quick timeout as well. You're listening to Galesburg High School Boys Basketball on WGIL and WGIL.com.
As of January 1st, e-cycling drop-off, the recycling program for large clunky electronic appliances, will no longer be available at Galesburg Transit. After the first of the year, items may be directly taken to Waste Management, located at 1360 South Henderson Street in Galesburg. Galesburg Transit will still accept your used motor oil to recycle it as fuel to heat the bus garage. You can drop off used motor oil at 567 South Farnham Street during normal business hours.
I'm Craig McCluskey. Use Galesburg Transit. Catch us now.
Stay in touch with Galesburg wherever you go and anytime you're online. Just log on to WGIL.com.
40.4 seconds on the fourth quarter clock. Galesburg leads Westinghouse 48-47. Warriors with the ball. Mike Reynolds will anticipate that they will try to hold for the last shot here. Galesburg playing hard defense, and they can foul. And that's exactly what the strategy was coming out of the timeout, because Galesburg has now only four team fouls in the second half. That's the second of the game on Diggins. It took 9 seconds off the clock, and they can continue to foul and force Westinghouse to inbound the ball. If they get anywhere near the basket, like right there, the Streaks can foul, but the shot is off and good by White. And now the Warriors call timeout, leading by one with 20.5 seconds to go, and the Streaks did not get the reach foul as quickly as they needed to there.
And then they didn't want to end up fouling him in the act of shooting.
That's right.
He was able to leap up and get a shot at the basket, and a short jumper goes down. So Westinghouse, after being down by four, the Streaks committed three consecutive turnovers on three possessions, and now the Streaks are having to take a timeout and see what they can do. I'm sure Westinghouse really going to crank up the pressure here.
On Diggins and Gibson.
Yes, to try and get a steal or at least keep us from getting into the offense that we want. We were both surprised, though, Brad, at the timeout. We assumed Westinghouse would do like they usually do and like they did today, just hold the thing out and get that last shot off with the 5 seconds left and then try
Crash
and get the rebound.
Yep.
But as you mentioned, I think they realized the foul situation. Maybe they thought they couldn't get away with that. You know, if we foul them with 5 seconds left and then with 3 seconds left, that may have changed what they wanted to do, so they attacked the basket harder.
So the reset here, Streaks have one timeout. That was Westinghouse's first timeout used in this game. 20.5 seconds remaining. Warriors leading 49-48. Carson Cheeseman will inbound the ball. Westinghouse puts on the full court pressure as Quinton Crump will guard Cheeseman on the inbound, who can run the baseline after the made basket. Diggins tripped in the backcourt and a push called on Darius Mason, and Trevon's going to get a 1-1 here with a chance to tie the game or regain the lead. Fourth foul of the game on Darius Mason, but it's again a 1-1, only the 19th foul on Westinghouse. So Diggins, who has not over the last year and the beginning of this season shown the best ability to shoot free throws, he's got to make the first one here with 18.7 seconds to go.
And their coach, Garland Williams, is wearing out the back of that chair. He leaned back and was looking up at the rafters. He wasn't mad at the officials on that. He was upset with his player.
He missed it. And then Trevon amplified the problem by stepping over the free throw line before the ball actually hit the rim. He was trying to get in there and chase down the rebound. So he made his first four free throws tonight, but he's 0-for-2 here in the fourth quarter. Still a one-point Westinghouse lead. The Warriors with the ball.
Silver Streaks, we got a guy back here. There we go, Grant, find him. Whew.
And that's what the shouting was. As Carl and Ross sit down for the Streaks, Galesburg going with the guard lineup as they want to try to create some steals in the backcourt. Again, with now only five team fouls, Galesburg can reach and hack and try to prevent Westinghouse from even getting across half court and hopefully get a steal out of it. Third foul on Trevon. They're going to go long. Bounce pass on the inbound to Mason. Now he gets it away, and Carson reaches around the backside of Marlique Williams. Stops the play before it even gets to half court. Second foul on Carson Cheeseman. And the 16th foul on Galesburg. So the next one does create a one in bonus with 14.9 seconds to go. But what they've done here is take 5.5 seconds off the clock that the Streaks need to be able to get the ball back. Trailing by one.
I would think we'd foul very quickly here now, because you want to have a little time after the free throw attempts to get the ball back up court.
Javonte Ramey on the inbound. She's been going for the steal in the backcourt on Quinton Crump, and he fouls it. So that'll put Crump on the line for a one and bonus. And Crump hasn't played a whole lot in this game, but he is a senior. Just a 5'9 senior. Hasn't played a whole lot in this tournament. Galesburg puts offense back into the game. Carl Ross and Ethan Meeker taking a little quickness out with Denzel Jones and Joe Williams sitting down along with Carson Cheeseman. 12.8 seconds to go in the fourth quarter. A 1-1 at the free throw line coming for Quinton Crump and Westinghouse with a 49-48 lead. Crump to the line. How cold is he going to be not having played a whole lot in this game? First one up, and in and out. Rebound, Marcus Ross. Streaks with a chance to win the game now. Got to get it across midcourt, and Galesburg calls timeout. 9.1 seconds to go in the game. 9 team fouls on Westinghouse, 7 on the Silver Streaks. Galesburg has to take it 3/4 the length of the court.
Yeah, I was going to say, what do you think of that? Because many times a coach doesn't want to have to inbound again, especially against a quicker team. When you got the flow of the game, many times they'll just let it finish out. But Coach Mike Reynolds has been around the block a time or two. I'm sure he saw something that he wasn't comfortable with and went ahead and took the timeout, which forces us to make that tough inbounds pass.
Yeah.
But at least he can draw up, ideally, what he'd like to see happen.
Well, and I've got to believe it's the nature of the team that he's working with here. I think, you know, here's a team that not only doesn't have a whole lot of varsity experience, now they're in a situation where they've got an executed play in order to be able to get a win, maintain some composure to be able to do it. So I think that's the strategy you take in calling the timeout here and saying, all right, we got to calm our kids down here, and we've got to tell them exactly what to do.
No, we got the missed free throw we needed.
Sure did. Diggins, Carl, Ross, Meeker, and Grant Gibson for the Silver Streaks. Meeker at the free throw line, Gibson under the basket. Ross to pull the trigger on the inbound, gets it across half court to Grant Gibson. Now he's going to take it to the basket. Shot up off the back of the rim. They're going to call an offensive foul after a flop as Gibson tried to sidestep Javonte Ramey in the lane. And they call an offensive foul on Grant Gibson, his fourth.
Yeah, Gibson got him pretty good with the hip there. And that's, you got to admire Grant wanting to get to the basket, but sometimes he's a bit of a bull in the china shop, and got called for it there.
Three substitutions back in for the Silver Streaks. They now have to foul quickly with 4.9 seconds to go. Going long, battles for it, but Gibson hangs on to it. Now a fight for it on the baseline, and the Streaks are going to get called for a push foul as the ball never really got in bounds. Galesburg thought they'd created the turnover with the possession out of bounds, but instead it'll be the fourth foul on Diggins. Is that what they're going to whistle it on? No, it's on.
It on Jones. A couple of guys mugged him down there on the baseline.
Right. It is Denzel Jones.
Okay. And he and Cheeseman both check out now, at least for the time being.
To the free throw line, Darius Mason has not shot a free throw yet tonight. 11 points on the game. He's knocked down 3 3-pointers. First free throw up off the back of the rim, but the rebound by Gant, put back, rolls through, and that's going to be the ball game.
He missed that free throw on purpose, I'm convinced. He threw that up so hard, I don't think he wanted to make it.
So the Streaks lose a heartbreaker. And just like the Limestone comeback earlier in the game, Westinghouse gets a shot basically at the buzzer when they really didn't even need it. All they needed was the rebound, and once they came down with possession of the rebound, that was pretty much it. But they get the lay-in at the buzzer, just like they did over Limestone earlier after getting the possession back when they didn't need a basket, and they win this one by 3. 51-48, first loss of the season for the Silver Streaks. Westinghouse improves to 2-0, and they're in command now. They're in the driver's seat in this tournament with a chance to win it out with a couple of victories tomorrow. We'll take a break.
Heck of an effort, though. Effort by the Streaks.
You've got to believe Coach Mike Reynolds isn't going to look at it that way. It'll be an interesting discussion with him when we talk to him in the postgame show coming up next on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Play-by-play coverage of Silver Streaks boys basketball on WGIL is brought to you in part by Craddy Insurance, one office for all your insurance needs. By Bates Collision Center in Galesburg, we take the decision out of collision. Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating, because you deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill. By McDonald's, I'm loving it. Breed Love Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee. Galesburg Nissan, now located at 2080 North Henderson Street in Galesburg. And by Dave's Auto Body. You better call Dave's. Galesburg's radio station for news, talk, and Silver Streaks basketball. Galesburg Radio 14, WGIL.
Good luck, Silver Streaks, from the all-new Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandberg Mall. Stop in and check out the new 2013 Nissans, the most innovative and exciting cars available today. Over 150 to choose from at Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandberg Mall.
I remember the moment.
I'll never forget that moment.
As long as I live.
As long as I live.
A storage tank ruptured, and for miles, chemicals were pushing up against the riverbanks.
This was a big, big deal, and it was going to have a serious impact on communities up and down the river.
I remember the moment this local guy came up to me and said, "They call the guard out for this stuff?"
He probably thought we were all about hurricanes, tornadoes, fighting Mother Nature.
Hey, it's a chemical spill. It's a disaster.
It affects the water supply, threatens wildlife.
We're talking about the health of entire communities and people's livelihoods.
You bet we're ready for these kinds of things.
We were out there with booms to prevent the spill from expanding.
We're responsible for protecting and monitoring the sensitive wetlands.
I also remember the moment that same guy came up to me and said, "I don't know what we would have done if they hadn't called the guard up."
Learn more about how you can protect your friends, families, neighbors, and the environment. Everything that makes up your community. Go to NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Illinois National Guard. Aired by the Illinois Broadcasters Association and this station.
The official WGIL forecast, clear and colder tonight with a low of 22. Wind gusts up to 25 miles per hour this evening. Tomorrow, sunny with a high of 36. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with an overnight low of 28. Sunday, sunny and not as cool with a high of 48. Sunday night, partly cloudy, overnight low of 32. Monday, partly sunny with a high of 42. Monday night, cloudy with a chance of rain or snow, overnight low of 28. Currently in downtown Galesburg, it is 20 at Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
Final stats, the Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game, and comments from Streaks head coach Mike Reynolds. WGIL's coverage of GHS boys basketball continues with the Silver Streaks postgame show on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
Tough one to stomach for the Silver Streaks here tonight as they end up falling 51-48. They had a four-point lead in the fourth quarter and did not score the rest of the way. The Westinghouse Warriors score the final 7 points of the game. After the Streaks took a 48-44 lead with just over 2 minutes remaining and didn't score the rest of the way. Westinghouse gets the final seven, including a shot at the buzzer after a missed free throw. The shot at the buzzer isn't what really mattered by then. And Galesburg falls to 2-1 as Coach Mike Reynolds is making his way up here. And kind of a sad locker room there tonight, but again, still a step forward, I think, in many ways here tonight, Jim.
Well, yeah, I'm just incredibly impressed with the gusto these kids played with all night long. It's too bad they couldn't get a win, but I'm stepping back at the bigger picture and pretty happy with what I saw in a lot of respects. But we'll see as Coach Mike Reynolds joins us right now what his thoughts are.
All right, so our post-game interview here for Silver Streaks Boys Basketball on WGIL is always brought to you by Breedlove Sporting Goods in Kewaunee. Let's turn things over to Jim Lee, who's with the head coach now.
All right, Mike, you're obviously gathering your thoughts here, and we're looking at this in two ways. We're stepping back from the big picture, and a lot of us wondered if you'd be able to keep up with these guys tonight and keep it close. You had a four-point lead down the stretch, and they scored the final seven to beat us. So from the big picture, we're happy with the competitiveness, but a little turnover action and some missed free throws, we could have had the win.
Yeah, you know, we turned the ball over. You know, we're up four with a minute 38 left, and we had the ball twice and traveled twice, and I think they were good calls. You know, those two calls were good. We missed a one-on-one. You know, and you know we've got to look at the positives out of this situation here. You know, we've got a lot of positives here, and it's a frustrating game to lose. You know, because that probably eliminates us from a chance to win the championship. You know, which frustrates a little bit because I don't see them losing to anybody else. So. That frustrates us a little. We wanted to do better than we did last year here, and it's not to be. You know, there's better competition here, and we know we got, like I told them in the locker room, you know, you can go two ways. You can pout about it. We know we got two fights coming tomorrow here, so we got to certainly gather our thoughts and be ready to go. Remember, at a lot of stretches in that game, we had two sophomores and a freshman on the floor. So I thought they played really well and stuck to the plan, which, you know, this is a different plan than we're going to have some weeks, you know. That's more of a Rocky plan. That's Rock Island with post players right there, you know. So, and Rock Island has all guards now. You know, we're not going to certainly play that way against Moline next week. It'll probably be a track meet for us, but... you know, if we're going to be good, which we think we can be, we got to be able to play both speeds. And we did that for the most part pretty well tonight.
Really, you throw out about 3 minutes of this game because you guys, I thought, executed everything near perfection in that first half when you were up for a good part of it. And then they went on that run there, 13-0, Brad. Is that what it was? A 13-0 run late in the first half. You end up going down 7. And early in the third quarter, we said, this is a key part of the game. They're up 9. They are threatening to run away. You guys came back there, and then just that final minute of the game, just throw out those closings, and you're right there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, in the second half, we had, you know, what they call in the NBA live ball turnovers. You know, we were able to turn the ball. We turned the ball over, not by traveling or throwing out of bounds. It was a live ball turnover. They went down and ran it in. So, you know, it's kind of like a pick six in football, except it only were two in basketball. But it's not good. It deflated us a little bit, and maybe we should have called a timeout. Maybe not. I don't know, you know, but... you know, we obviously needed every one down the stretch, and we thought that, so we tried to hold them the second half and coach our guys. Drew, I thought we had a good play there at the end to have a chance to win, and the call didn't go our way, but it is what it is.
Yeah, you know, you took the timeout. You had the rebound with 9 seconds left. A lot of times you'll go ahead and let the flow of the play happen rather than have to inbound again, but as Brad and I were talking, you got a pretty inexperienced team, and I'm sure you wanted to make sure you're all on the same page there.
Yeah, and I wanted to give Grant a little space to be able to play. You know, and he had space. He had space to play, you know, and we had our best shooter in the corner in Meeker, and if you get doubled, kick it to Meeker, he'll shoot it. If not, you know, you're one-on-one, and you know, we're biased. We think he's the most complete player in the tournament. He's got some things to learn. He had a couple charges and a couple travels, but, I mean, he's learning, and I bet when that situation happens again, I bet the ball goes in the basket.
Well, and he did a great job, obviously, tonight as he did this afternoon, but some of your other guys, I thought, played 100% better tonight than they did this afternoon. Trevon Diggins had a terrific game for you.
Yeah, and we're going to need that. You know, we're going to need that. And I was talking to the coaches. You know, we haven't got anything offensively from him in the summer. He played really well for us. So we were a little concerned with that the first two games. But this certainly was his type of game. He came out bouncing around and flying around and got into the rim and was able to get some layups and hit a three. And hopefully that will give him confidence as we go into the next few days and into conference play.
Ryan Carl got into some early foul trouble and played that whole third quarter, I think Brad said, without an extra foul. And he seems like a much more confident kid in the post this year.
Yeah, I thought Ryan and Marcus, you know, did really well in there. You know, they've got, you know, they're never going to have great stats. They're never going to have a lot of things, but they're competitive kids. They got a little something about themselves. You know, they are good team guys. They keep our team together and they made a lot of winning plays. They made a lot of winning plays. We just, you know, were a couple short.
And on that stretch where you had three consecutive turnovers late in the game, the one we were holding the ball a bit and Marcus got the ball out high, I'm sure that's probably not the spot you want him to be in, but sometimes that happens.
Yeah, a lot of contact out there. You know, he's got to play through contact. That's something we talk about. He's adept at handling the ball. You know what? You know, I think we got ball-friendly post players, to be real honest. I think we handle it a little better than we have in the past. And you've seen Marcus put it on the floor a little bit. Ryan's capable of taking a few dribbles and putting it on the floor. Those two guys are certainly ball-friendly. You know, we thought we had some matchup issues. And you know, we tried to exploit them. And then our young guys played well in the first half. And they were able to give us some minutes there to start the fourth. And we went back to the older guys to close it out. And we just couldn't get it done.
Well, and finally, at this Thanksgiving tournament, over the last few years, we've had some incredible games. The Gurney Warren game, we thought we had no chance coming in and pulled off the upset, played a great game that night. Last year, beat this Westinghouse team in a game we didn't know whether we could win, played some really good basketball, and here tonight about pulled it off. So you have these guys early in the season believing they can do things, and they came pretty close again.
Yeah, you know, we want to build on it. We want to take the positives from this and build toward tomorrow and build towards our trip to Wharton Fieldhouse next week. That's our main focus right now. See what we can get out tomorrow, get some positives, and push forward so we get into the conference play.
Great effort tonight. See you tomorrow.
All right, thanks a lot.
As always, our thanks to Mike Reynolds joining us here on the postgame show. We'll take a break. Galesburg falls tonight 51-48. When we come back, final statistics and our Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time player of the game. Streaks are 2-1 now. They fall tonight 51-48. You're listening to Silver Streaks Boys Basketball on WGIL and WGIL.com.
It's Patsy and Michelle from Bates Collision.
Shh. You did not just...
Look at that dish. Seared squab with foie gras.
And that thing that just raced by with my appetite.
Bates Collision Center. We take the decision...
Foie gras.
I can't say that. Out of collision.
For the baseball enthusiast who appreciates the process of breaking in a genuine leather Rawlings glove. For the football fanatic that understands the importance of having an authentic Riddell helmet between you and the other guy. And for the volleyball player who will only practice with a Wilson ball because she insists it sounds different, louder when she spikes it on her opponent. Breedlove Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee has brands that true athletes insist on for a reason. Find them all under one roof at Breedlove's in downtown Kewaunee.
Oh, just a little further. Oh. Mrs. Stevens?
Hey, Phil. Got a package for me?
Nope, just a power bill.
Oh, well, what's that?
That's the power bill, ma'am.
No.
Yeah, I think it's time you call Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating. Honestly, my back can't take much more of this.
Do everyone a favor and get a high-efficiency furnace from Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating because you deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill.
Keeping you informed 24 hours a day. Galesburg Radio 14, WGIL.
Our postgame statistics brought to you by McDonald's. I'm loving it, but not loving the final outcome here. The final stat, the one that really matters on the scoreboard. 51-48, Westinghouse beats the Silver Streaks. Jim, team numbers pretty balanced in a lot of ways really tonight.
Yeah, but you know, the rebounds, we only had a three, what, a differential of three. Westinghouse with 28 and the Silver Streaks with 25. That says a lot right there. Shooting on the evening, again, Westinghouse outside that second quarter was just so different than the rest of the game.
Yeah.
And that's the way Westinghouse would like to have every quarter. 23 shots off. They hit 9 of 23.
And they barely had that the other three quarters total.
Yeah, 4 of 10 in the first, 4 of 7 in the third, 5 of 8 in the fourth, but just really exploded in that second quarter. And as Mike Reynolds was telling us, a lot of that was off of turnovers. We had 7 turnovers in the second quarter. And that's, and seeing Westinghouse today, it appears that's what they thrive on. Get them in a half-court game, you can hang in there. But I didn't see the second half you did when they beat Limestone today, and it was all about pressure, turnovers, and getting some quick scores under transition.
Yep. Yeah, even when Limestone did get it across half-court, it seemed like they were still a little bit rattled. Threw up some quick shots, still got careless with the ball. You know, they'd break the press in the backcourt, get into the front court, and then they'd run into somebody there who they weren't anticipating. It was like we were so relieved to get it across half court that we forgot we still got to go another 40 feet or so.
Yeah, so all things considered, just really happy with the Streaks' effort tonight, just not the result down the stretch with this young team. Streaks were 17 of 36 from the field, good for 47%. And the Warriors finished 20 out of 48 from the field.
And so 22, that, right? 22 out of 48?
Excuse me, 22 out of 48. And that puts them up around 45% on the game. Turnovers, we didn't compare those yet. I've had us with 20
yes.
at game's end and them with 12.
I had 14.
Okay, so I had a couple to Westinghouse. So that count, again, playing a team as aggressive as Westinghouse isn't that bad. Again, we make a couple more free throws or one less turnover, we walk out of here with a W.
Yeah. Warriors missed their first 7 three-point attempts. They finished 4 of 14, so they shot much better in the final 7 attempts than they did in the first 7. Silver Streaks didn't get off very many tonight with that guard-oriented defense, just 2 of 6 from behind the arc. And neither team shot free throws real well. Westinghouse 3 of 7, but they didn't need to shoot a whole lot tonight, and the Streaks definitely needed the ones that they had, and they didn't make them. 12 of 21, so just under 60% there. But the frustrating thing was Galesburg was 6 of 6 from the free throw line in the first quarter. It was after that that they really did not shoot well. They were under 50% in each quarter the rest of the game. 4 for 9 in the second quarter, actually right at 50%, 1 for 2 in the third quarter, and then the one that really hurt was 1 for 4
in the fourth quarter. So just 12 of 21 in the game. Make a couple more of those, obviously. Losing a three-point game makes a big difference. Individual scoring leading the way for the Warriors with two players in double figures. DeJuan White had 13. Darius Mason finished with 11. Good balance by the Warriors tonight. Marlik Williams had 9. Ricky Battles, 8. Daryl Gant finished with 5. Javonte Ramey had 4. Ramon Taylor had 1 tonight. DeQuantis Jackson, Quinton Crump, and Terrence Jones, Cameron Oliver all did not score for Westinghouse. Career high tonight for Trevon Diggins with 19. Grant Gibson backed him up with 17. So that was two-thirds of the streak's points right there. Now, see, that's why I teach English, not math. It's actually three-quarters of the streak's points, 36 of their 48. The remaining, Joe Williams, Ryan Carl, each with 5 points. And that leaves only two left. Carson Cheeseman had the other two. Ethan Meeker, Denzel Jones, Marcus Ross, Tyson Parks did not score for the Silver Streaks, who fall tonight 51-48. Final order of business as Moline and Limestone are underway in the final game of the day here at John Thiel Gymnasium. We'll be back with the Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game after this on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Live coverage of GHS basketball on WGIL is brought to you in part by Arby's on North Henderson Street in Galesburg, by office specialists in Galesburg and Kewaunee, where your office is their business, and by Chuck Ross of Mel Foster Company, making it happen.
Colder months are soon approaching and snow and ice will cover our green grass. Hi, I'm Mark Craddy. I'm here to help Karen continue to serve our customers. Craddy Insurance, along with Rockford Mutual Insurance Company, are here to protect your home and car from winter mishaps. We are a family business here to help your family. We offer competitive rates through Rockford Mutual Insurance Company. Stop in and see us at 1197 North Henderson Street or give Karen or I a call for your free quote at 342-0071.
This is the sound of a Dr. Pepper being dispensed from a McDonald's soda fountain. Listen carefully as we scientifically enhance the audio. The one-of-a-kind taste of an icy cold Dr. Pepper from McDonald's just naturally refreshes your spirits. And here is the sound of discovering it's just a dollar. Get any size soft drink or sweet tea at McDonald's for just $1. The simple joy of living loud. Prices and participation may vary. A la carte only for a limited time.
Hi, I'm Jim Bohannon. Listen to my show every weekday night from 9 till midnight on Galesburg Radio 14, WGIL.
At the 4A state championship in Champaign, it's all but over. Alleman was going to lose for the second time this season. It's 43-18 Rochester with 5 minutes to go at last check. And it looks like the IHSA website isn't updating from that, even though I haven't checked it for a while, so we'll stick with that. But I don't see Alleman scoring 26 points in the final 5 minutes of the game to win the state championship there. Our final order of business here, the Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game. We were yakking about other things during the break rather than what we should have been talking about, Jim. But like what we had earlier today when Grant Gibson scored a career-high 34, I'm not sure we really have much debate in who the Crunch Time Player of the Game is tonight either.
Yeah, got some real good contributions from a lot of players in this one. But it's pretty easy. Another career-high, Trevon Diggins. Has to be our crunch time player of the game, not only with that career high in points, but also just his floor presence. We mentioned his quickness. For as good as Chicago Westinghouse is, they really didn't have anybody that was any quicker than Trevon was. And, of course, he always brings that energy, that scrappiness. He's the first one to the ball. And no way you could deny him tonight. He was very important. And, again, as Mike Reynolds said, if we can get Trevon to play like that every night, you know, and Carson's always, playing hard. He didn't score a lot of points, but handled the ball pretty well against pressure. And, Grant Gibson's going to bring it. Then, if you get two or three guys that you can pretty well count on everything they're going to do every night, then you get Marcus Ross or whoever else is in the ball.
Joe Williams off the bench. Yep.
You know, that can come in and give you an 8 or 10, then you're right there. So yeah, I walk out of here, I'd still rather have the win, but I'm very encouraged going forward after this ball game.
And then again, it'll just be a continual process. I think, with a young team like this, and certainly young in terms of freshmen, sophomores on the roster, but also young in terms of experience. There's not a lot of varsity experience, even though the streaks start four seniors. Their most experienced player is a sophomore, so there's still some growing for Grant Gibson to do and some growing overall for this team. So I still think
certainly throughout the first half, maybe two-thirds of the season, there's going to be nights when we and the fans are going to walk out frustrated that the team didn't play better than it did. But, again, that's part of the growth process, and you get them where you need to be by the end of the year and see what they can do then.
Yeah, so much of it revolves around confidence, and I think tonight's game had to be a big confidence builder to play with this Westinghouse team. And we'll get another couple of chances to build confidence tomorrow because we're going to be outsized in two more games against Englewood in the first game and then Limestone in the nightcap. And maybe not so much outsized against Limestone, but they're just solid at every position.
Yeah, they're real complete. And they lead here 6-2 over Moline. They already beat United Township, so Limestone's going to come in here and try to get the Western Big Six trifecta as they now take it. Oh, nope. Hank Matthews misses the shot down the lane. But we can talk about this game tomorrow. We want to get you out of here. And it is a final from Champaign. Rock Island Alleman loses to Rochester in the 4A title game, 43-18. But congratulations to Mercer County, which won the 2A title earlier today. So, as always, the area well represented in the high school football ranks. Our thanks to Nick Simpson at the downtown studios. For Jim Lee, I'm Brad Binowitz. I guess I should mention when we're on the air tomorrow, huh, before we get out of here. The game tomorrow against Englewood is at 12 o'clock. It's the third game of the day, so in an ideal world, we've got an 11:40 pregame tomorrow. But again, with two games ahead of ours, who knows? So tune in around 11:40, and if you hear us, that's great. If you don't, stick around. We shouldn't be too much longer before the pregame with Galesburg and Team Englewood tomorrow at noon here on WGIL. Jim, thanks. See you tomorrow.
Yep, have a good night.
And again, thanks to Nick at the downtown studios. Thanks to you for being with us. Good night from John Field Gymnasium.
Thanks for listening to Silver Streaks Boys Basketball on Galesburg Radio 14, WGIL. This has been a WGIL sports presentation.